Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson, and welcome to Going In Raw, with what do you usually say, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to, available right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. Anywhere fine podcasts are available, including CastBox. We've got a great partnership with CastBox. Go check out CastBox. We're fans.
Yes.
Yes. We're also at the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Tons of awesome tiers, rewards associated with those tiers. Usually, everybody that pledged $5 and up will be seeing this recap via live stream. However, we're still getting this office situation settled. Still don't have internet.
Yeah.
Once our internet's back, we'll go back to that. In the meantime, we're going to start doing, what'd you call it?
Letters from Sweet F.
That, where it's like a Q&A thing, but not necessarily about wrestling. So we're going to emulate the pre- and post-show experience.
Yes.
But just not live stream it.
In VOD form for those $5 and up patrons who show up to this live stream all the time.
Yes.
And even for the $5 ones who don't.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got like, this morning when I checked, we had like 43 questions.
Cool. That's a good
non-wrestling
number.
Questions.
All right, we can lightning round if need be.
Lightning round if need be. That's what I was thinking too.
Also, we were found at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. Sales over. The WrestleMania sale, that's over. However, our shirts remain.
Yes.
They will be available, as far as I'm aware, in perpetuity.
I mean, until either Pro Wrestling Tees goes under, or one of us gets convicted for some crime, or, you know, I don't know, something bad happens.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
I know. I'm not saying
anyways,
I hope it does. I'm just giving scenarios.
We got designs up there. Probably more to come. There's more sales in the future. So if you want to wait for a sale, this will do that. That's fine.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I mean, there's always sales. I don't remember what the first post-Mania sale was.
I don't know.
I don't remember what it was. Sometimes I'll just have random ones, like it was the owner's birthday.
There might be one for 4th of July.
Oh, that could be maybe 4th of July. Yeah.
I'm just speculating. There might be one Labor Day weekend, an all-in sale.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Who knows?
We have tons of great designs, though. Check them out.
Yes, please. Anyways, yeah. We got to give a shout-out to Mikey Omega. He started up the Friendoverse.
Thank you.
Facebook discussion area.
Yes.
And he organized a WrestleMania Pick'em contest, right?
Yeah, correct.
The winner of which would receive the Friendoverse Openweight Championship.
Yeah.
Which he designed, and it looks spectacular.
Oh, it looks amazing.
Anyway,
I should have loaded up a picture of it here.
Or sorry, the video. The winner of that Pick'em contest.
Here's the thing too.
What?
The great thing, this is okay, so the Friendoverse is now 1400 plus numbers. 1400 plus. And he filmed a video, Mikey Omega did. I could not think of a better administrator, creator of this group than Mikey Omega.
He's done a great job.
He's done a fantastic job. Him and his girlfriend, she was the camera person, and they filmed it in the same manner as Triple H's video about the North American Championship unveiling the title. It's fantastic. So I was sort of lurking on the Friendoverse board last night when people were talking about the potential winners, because we're about to make the announcement now as to who won.
Yes.
the very first Friendoverse Openweight Championship. And he said that there's a first place. He didn't give me who the second place was. He just gave me the first place, the winner. He said there was a first place, a second place, and then like third place was tied with like 20 people.
Oh, wow.
So it was two standouts.
Yes, and everybody else.
But ultimately, there's only one winner in life,
Larson. One champion.
That's correct. And that champion is your new first reigning.
Save your voice, man.
Defending. Well, this is an important announcement. Friendoverse Openweight Champion, Vinny Elliott.
Come on, Hilton, clap.
He doesn't know how to use his hands, man. That's why.
No, that's one thing he definitely knows how to do is clap loudly. I know.
Yeah, he's got.
Experience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's a loud clapper.
Congratulations to Vinny Elliott. So does he have to defend that title next year?
I don't know if this is an annual title. Look, man, I'm not Mikey Omega. You need to ask these hard hitting questions
all
to
right,
Mikey
maybe
Omega.
I shall.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, those are all the plugs. That's all the business. Now it's time to talk about Raw after Mania.
Yeah, usually the Raw after Mania, you get some surprises, some call-ups. You get the most vocal and passionate crowd of the entire year.
Yeah. The crowd's starting to go meta. Meta,
yeah.
On us,
yeah.
You know, they're very self aware that they are the crowd after Mania.
Yes.
The Raw crowd after Mania.
I don't remember anything like last year with the whole Beach Ball Mania thing.
True. Yeah.
That distracted from what was happening in the ring. Granted, I wasn't there, so I don't know for certain. But I didn't get the gist on TV that anything comparable happened.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, last year, you know, was such, so what was the, oh yeah, I'm sorry, Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker. He came out and everybody
was
giving
great.
Him a lot of guff.
It was mostly the beach ball stuff during the Cruiserweight match.
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't a lot of that going on. They did start chanting F word at Stephanie. They were saying, shut the F up at one point. But she, as soon as she got wind of that, she started talking to try to quell it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
they don't want that on cable television.
Well, WWE doesn't want that on their programming. But,
yeah.
You know, USA, you can drop F-bombs.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
That's what I meant, they, as in WWE. They don't want that on their programming.
Yeah, no, of course not, man. They're trying to make that PG. That family money.
Yes, man. Anyways, while you're talking about Stephanie,
hold on. In a nutshell, it was a little bit on the weird side.
It was all right. None of the the one thing that I felt like could have been improved somewhat is some of the call-ups made more of a splash.
Yeah.
I think of all the call-ups, I think Ember Moon, her debut was most impactful.
Well, Authors of Pain were pretty impactful.
Well, they just squashed Rhino and Slater.
Yeah, man.
But if they had been in this kind of mini tournament for the tag team titles, I'd say yes. Super impactful.
That wasn't part of the tournament? Are you serious? Oh, man, I totally thought it was.
Nope.
I thought that was round one.
That's like the first thing Heath Slater said. It's like, we're not involved in this tag team eliminator tournament thing.
I was too busy tweeting out, I'm pretty sure Authors of Pain are about to come out.
Oh, yeah, no. Once I saw them in the ring, in my notes here, I just typed Heath Slater Rhino versus Authors of Pain. I didn't wait for them to come out. I knew that's what was going to happen.
Oh, man.
Ember Moon's debut was fairly impactful.
Yeah.
But, like, Lashley came out, and that was great. But then he just beat up Elias. Like I told you before we started, that, you know, when Roman came out and dropped his promo, Joe came out and dropped his promo. Say after Joe left, Lashley jumps in the ring and suplexes Roman.
Yeah.
Man, that'd been impactful. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Just something with some impact.
No, I agree with you on the Lashley thing. I wish that it would have been, I do wish that he would have been, so there's sort of like your central story, right, for Raw and then on SmackDown. So on SmackDown, and that's what I always liked about the Attitude Era. Specifically, you kind of remember the central story, the Austin versus McMahon story, branched out organically from that story to encompass virtually all the top players.
Yes.
And so it would be kind of nice if that Triple H, Stephanie, Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle story kind of branched out and encompassed more players. Like you mentioned, Shayna Baszler coming up, you know, to take on Ronda, which I thought was a great idea. We didn't get that.
That might happen in the future.
But I mean, you get, you know, Ember, like you said, Ember Moon's debut was most impactful because she came up in their women's division storyline as part of that. So it is nice when call-ups happen for them really to matter, to make an impact, to be storyline related, just come out, squash somebody, and then, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
It is more impactful when they come up, you know, for a storyline reason.
Yeah, and then it seems like they're coming to the show with a purpose.
And so last night's Raw after Mania, I see what you're saying. It kind of felt like they were saying, okay, well, what are the hallmarks of the Raw after Mania? Call-ups, returns, surprises. There were no title changes last night. I always like when that happens as well.
Yeah.
Kind of unpredictable. I thought the main event, I don't know. I mean, I like Jeff Hardy. I'm glad that Jeff Hardy's back and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought that being a title match could have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just like Finn versus Seth or something
about
like that.
Here's something I have an issue with. So during the segment with
airing all our dirty laundry.
Here. Yeah, let's get out of the way right now. Well, not really dirty laundry, just problems with the show.
Yeah.
The issue I have also is when Miz came out to interrupt Finn and Seth, he said, I want my rematch. I want a backlash. Well, like later on the show, they advertise the largest Royal Rumble and said there's a ladder match for the Intercontinental title with The Miz in it. It's like, for Lesnar and Reigns, they're treating that show as canon, but for everything else, it's just like a house show. I want some consistency.
Yeah.
Like later on the show, right before the main event, I feel like, there is a commercial advertising the largest Royal Rumble, saying there was a ladder match for the Intercontinental title that Samoa Joe is in.
Yeah.
And we already know, because he said it earlier, that he wants a piece of Reigns after that show.
Yeah.
So maybe, cards always subject to change. Maybe they'll swap Joe out with Jeff Hardy. Could be. That would make sense. But as of now, I just wish there was a little more consistency in terms of presenting the televised product with the show that apparently WWE's pumping a lot of effort into.
Yeah.
I want consistency.
Well, no, I agree with you, and I understand. I feel like WrestleMania was a really oddly booked WrestleMania.
It was a go-home show for largest Royal Rumble. In a lot of respects.
That's kind of the case, too, especially if Roman takes that title off Brock. So we've gotten like weird conflicts. Let's talk about that really quick before
we go into the
note-by-note detail of the show, recap of the show.
Yes, conflicting reports as far as Lesnar's new arrangement. Of course, this news started coming in after we had recorded our NXT recap talking about Lesnar, the finish to the match at Mania. First, it was from, I have the name here, hold on, someone that works at Bleacher Report, if I recall. It is Jeremy Botter.
Okay.
He tweeted a couple things saying that Lesnar had re-signed, but it was a short-term deal, essentially for a couple appearances to get him through till largest Royal Rumble. He dropped the title then. Reigns would win the steel cage match in front of a friendlier crowd because Vince either, I think as he reported, it made it sound like that Vince called an audible during Mania to have Lesnar retain. Now, since then, we've had other reports that kind of, in some ways, support, but also kind of conflict, because both Meltzer and then, I'm getting this all from a Cage Side Seats breakdown. They did a good job of doing a rumor roundup of all these rumors specifically. Meltzer and Mike Johnson, or PW Insider, both seem to confirm that Brock's deal was short-term. However, Meltzer said that the plan to change the finish at Mania happened before the show, although not a whole lot of people knew about it.
Yeah.
But then today, Sporting News had a report, which they say, I'll quote it directly. Sporting News has learned from multiple sources that Lesnar signed a multi-year deal with the company, WWE. The deal includes Lesnar being allowed to fight in the UFC, which is something he insisted on if he were to re-sign with the pro wrestling giant. So, conflicting reports. It seems like whether he's doing a short-term deal with WWE so he can fight in the UFC, or he's doing a long-term deal with options to fight in the UFC, he's looking for maximum flexibility. Because even if he just signs a short-term deal, for now, it seems inevitable at some point he's going to come back.
A multi-year deal. Look, the bottom line is we're not sure what the appearance schedule is.
Yes,
like.
And that's gonna
because
be the
a
thing.
Multi-year deal could mean he makes two appearances a year.
Yeah.
It could be, hey, here's $5 million, show up at SummerSlam.
Mania and in a couple shows.
Maybe like a Survivor Series or maybe an MSG house show or something weird like that. So it could be that. Or it could be like the Brock schedule that we're used to, only he'll have an extended, absence for his UFC endeavors as well. I would probably think that it's maybe part of the former, since we're getting sort of odd,
conflicting stuff.
So I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We're not.
WWE, apart from issuing their statement saying that he had re-signed, we don't know what the deal is. I guess
none of these people have seen the contract.
Here, if we get some sort of stipulation at this largest Royal Rumble in this cage match, that if Lesnar loses, he leaves WWE, then we'll probably get a clearer sense of what kind of contract he signed.
Yeah, right. So, in any event, something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, If Roman does win the Universal title, I want that to happen because, I want to move on with all this. I would like for it to be in front of a friendly crowd.
Yes.
It was kind of interesting watching Twitter yesterday. I know Brian Zane specifically was sort of criticizing the crowd for not sort of immediately giving the match the benefit of the doubt, because they did seem to kind of poo-poo on it like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I understand his point of view.
Yeah, same
and
here.
I respect it, of course.
Yes.
But, I kind of disagree with it. I kind of felt like we didn't notice that this is awful chance until well into it being awful.
Yeah.
Because it was
not a well-booked match.
When you take a look, you pointed this out perfectly. When you take a look at 31 and you take a look at 34, 31 actually had some story behind it. 34 just, I don't know.
It felt like, okay, we're going to hit all the major beats of that match without dealing with any of the story between said beats.
There just hasn't been a lot of inspiration when it comes to Roman in his big moment booking lately.
Well, also there's been a whole lot of inspiration beyond SummerSlam, how they booked Lesnar matches for the entire
Right. Yeah.
His entire run.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, we've seen him against Joe, against Strowman, where his opponents will kind of have the upper hand. He'll hit one F5 and get the win.
Yeah.
That's been the story for Lesnar.
Right.
And then now Reigns is such a superhero, he can kick out of four or five F5s. But this goes into the kind of cartoonish nature of how they're trying to build Reigns as this, you know, like superhero that can basically almost kick out of anything.
Well, I'm glad a lot of people took to my Rambo 3 Rocky analogy.
Yeah, you were very proud of that. I can tell you were very proud of that, too.
I was very proud of that. But I was given validation because people were like,
it's good.
Look at you, Steve.
Yeah.
You're good. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I was a junior when I took physics and you were a senior.
But also you didn't pass calculus.
Because I was doing lots of drugs. And
not true.
Having lots of sex.
Definitely not true.
So much sex.
Not true at all.
My weird, skinny 17-year-old body.
Your hair down to here in the front, but way shorter in the back.
Exactly. That was cool, cool, man. Anyways, let's break down this Raw.
Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon comes out, drops a great promo, talking, and her arm's all dramatic in a sling.
Oh, it's like
and
a sling, yeah. And then she was saying, you know, hey, you know what? This is all a big trick. I was here to be a heel to Ronda, to focus her, to draw out her true potential.
Exactly. I took her to draw out everything Ronda Rousey had.
And so she says, here, I want to introduce my friend.
Yes.
Ronda Rousey. So Ronda comes out to a massive pop.
Oh, man. Crowd was eating up. She couldn't get that smile off her face.
I know.
And you know what? She deserves every single one of those cheers.
Yes. And so she's, you know, Stephanie says, you know, hey, together, it was like Darth Vader talking to Luke.
Yeah.
You know, join me and together we could rule the galaxy.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I was reminded of.
Good analogy. Not as good as my Rocky Rambo one, but very good.
I wasn't trying to top it either. See, I wasn't trying, so it's okay if I fail.
Wait a second. You just took my calculus analogy right there.
Yep. So, you know, Steph, you know, more or less does the Vader to Luke thing.
Yeah.
She extends her hand.
Join me.
Yes. Ronda shakes her hand. They embrace. They hug. And then they're face to face. Ronda's smiling. Turns to a frown, puts Stephanie's injured arm on her shoulder, arm bars her, tries to rip her arm off.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. And it was relentless because, like, she let go for her spell and then ripped it back off. It was great. I'll be honest with you. Look, I'll be honest with you. So, like, we got word a couple months ago that part of this...
That was a McMahon-Austin thing.
Was the McMahon-Austin thing redux. They wanted Stephanie to become sort of a Vince-type character and raise it... This is the thing that I'm kind of most interested in. I would be totally fine if they told not just Stephanie over and over again because we've seen her get her ass whooped, but...
She needs proxies.
Exactly. She needs proxies.
That's why I thought Shayna Baszler would have been a perfect proxy.
That would have been absolutely perfect. And maybe we'll get that down the line. I think it'd be spectacular if they did. I wonder if Alexa Bliss might turn into that.
Could be.
Given what we saw last night.
Yeah, that could be.
So anyways, it was a great opener. I like that.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Nia Jax then came down.
For a tag match with an
big
unannounced
smile on
partner.
Her face.
Oh, man. And it was great. The crowd was chanting, you deserve it. And
absolutely,
you could tell that she was emotionally overwhelmed by the moment. Fantastic.
Some of the pictures from after her title win, like she Instagrammed a picture of her, like her family. I think her... Oh, I forgot who it was, but like I think her family was there, like her brothers or something like that, and she was like posing with them. She also did one with the Authors of Pain where she said, those are my brothers, but I don't really think they're actually related.
Wasn't the Rock's mom sitting ringside at Mania? I thought she went over and...
Oh, yeah, okay, so maybe that was part of it too.
Yeah.
I don't know. In any event, she had Cry Face on, and it was very heartwarming.
I know.
So I think that's fantastic.
She's only been wrestling, like, what, 2 or 3 years?
I know.
And she's come, you know, such a long way.
I know. It feels like yesterday they were just doing like the... name promo on NXT, you know. So she was going to be in a tag match, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James. Alexa Bliss comes down, she drops a promo. At this point, Alabama ushered me away into her room. I come back and Ember Moon had made her debut. So what exactly happened?
So Alexa Bliss was doing the mean girl stuff still. And then Nia said, well, I have a partner. My partner's name is Ember Moon. This Ember Moon came out.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. She got a good reception.
Ember Moon's face looked win face.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Good for her. I was actually kind of worried that... So I really wanted to see... Oh, and Shayna Baszler Instagrammed or tweeted a picture of Ember Moon on Raw. It was just the words, good riddance.
Oh, I saw that. That was pretty fun.
Oh, I love Shayna. Anyways, no, I'm glad she's on Raw.
Yes.
Because I kind of... I mean, you know, all the bitching about the Mean Girl stuff aside... Bailey and
Sasha, that storyline.
Sasha, that's been really good.
Really
I think
well.
They've done Oscar really well. Although she wasn't there last night, she'll probably be on SmackDown tonight.
Oh, but also, I mean, yeah,
I like how they booked the women's division on Raw.
Well,
I
feel like Raw has done a better job of booking NXT call-ups of late, too. Just look at Elias.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? Big time.
And Elias, they've actually managed to flesh out his character far more on Raw than they ever did on NXT. And I'm hopeful that maybe with some good creative behind her, they'll kind of decide what they want to do with Ember Moon in terms of developing her as a character with a lot of mystique.
Yeah.
Or a more grounded character, or some clear combination of both, where there's a clear delineation between, you know, this is Ember Moon, the person, and then she walks out on that ramp and gets in the ring, and this is Ember Moon, the wrestler.
Yeah,
there's a clear delineation between
the
two aspects of her character.
No, you're absolutely right. They have the opportunity for a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
She's also not tasked with carrying the division right now, which I think is going to be good for her. She's amongst other personalities who are really strong, and I think she'll flourish as kind of more of a team player than being tasked with being the follow-up to Asuka, which is
a
tall task right there.
I mean, because Ember Moon's a fantastic wrestler. She's fantastic. And I think with good creative, her character work could be really good too.
No, I agree. And even like her work, like you said, in the ring, but in the ring in character is really good.
Yeah.
It's just like the promo stuff. I don't know. I just personally feel like she needed to always dial it down a little bit with the, mm-hmm. with the promo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she'll find that on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they, you know, talk about, you know, a big debut. She pinned Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. She got the hot tag from the Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah.
Cleared house and then ended up hitting the Eclipse on Alexa to get the win.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So good for her. And she just looks like she fits in on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
She needs to be on Raw.
Yeah. Next, we had Kurt Angle on the phone backstage. He mentioned this kind of casually to whomever he was talking to. There was going to be a superstar shakeup next week. We got a full promo for it later on in the show.
Oh, okay, that was late. I thought that was earlier. Okay. I thought that wasn't like after McMahon, in between McMahon.
There was a couple of promos for it, but this was the first one.
Okay.
And then Braun and his tag team partner, Nicholas, walked in.
This is pretty funny.
This was awesome.
This was pretty great.
So he walks in. Braun does. Kurt says, "Where's your partner?" He says, "Oh, he's right here." He just steps out from behind Braun.
Right.
And then Braun says, "Yeah, I'm afraid we have to relinquish these titles. My partner's got other commitments."
Right.
Kurt says, "What? He's got to finish the fourth grade."
Yeah. "Well, my partner's he's in the fourth grade."
Yeah. And he says, "But once he's done with school, we're going to come back and get these titles." And then Nicholas says, "Yeah, I can't wait because everybody's going to get these hands."
Yeah. I loved it.
It was pretty awesome.
I thought it was great, man. I mean, you know, who cares? Braun's... Could they have done a thing where Braun had the tag titles by himself? Sure. But you know what? You need a tag division. You can't have one guy holding up the tag division like that.
I know.
So you would have been booking yourself into a massive hole at that point.
You get a good WrestleMania moment, and then you kind of hit the reset button the next night. I still feel like it would have made a lot more sense to have Authors and Pain be involved in these finals.
Yeah, me too. But do you think that would have been...
Oh. It would have been an issue because I know they're trying to do something with the Revival. It's obvious that Broken Matt and Bray are going to win those titles.
Yeah.
Against T-Bar.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So it just would have been too congested. And if the plan was for Matt and Bray to win and then, you know, down the line, face Authors of Pain, have them beat them for the titles and cause the end of their partnership, I get that.
But yeah.
At the same time, if you want Authors of Pain to make an impact, have them come out there and take on, I don't know, the club. Although I don't want to see the club get decimated.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I just think if you put them in the tag tournament immediately, number one, like if you just think about a kayfabe, it's like I understand they were the, you know, most dominant NXT champions that we've seen in a while. But at the same time, you got to kind of prove yourself first.
No, I understand that, yeah.
And, you know, for people who don't watch NXT, you do need a bit of a getting to know you phase. But more than that, you put them in the tag team tournament. You don't want these guys to lose. So if they win and they win the tag team titles, it then becomes, okay, well, what now? Mm-hmm. I'd kind of prefer some story before they win the titles.
No, I understand all that. I'm just thinking of impact.
You can't have them lose.
No. Anyways, as I mentioned, next, there was a Superstar Shakeup promo. The Superstar Shakeup's happening next week across Raw and SmackDown. They kind of explained it later on the show where it's just pretty much... The GMs of the respective shows get together, agree on some trades.
Uh huh.
That's what it seemed like it's going to be.
You said with Michael Cole, did he say obviously it's going to be trades? Is there the possibility of more call ups as well?
Well, he said during one of the debuts, I think it was Authors of Pain's debut, he said, "Oh, you know, another debut. It's not even the Superstar Shakeup yet."
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So,
Oh, no. Corey Graves was saying that he think it'd be great if AJ Styles came over. So I thought he was talking about a call-up, but no. So, yeah.
We'll see what happens tonight on SmackDown, and then I imagine there'll be more changes next week. And then after that, we got a promo for the debut of No Way Jose on Raw.
So that's interesting.
And he had his debut match against John Skyler, someone we've seen several times.
Yeah. He had his conga line behind him. Immediately everybody says, oh, it's the Adam Rose thing, which I get that. Party gimmicks don't really go over that well.
Well, you need more depth to it than just party gimmick.
Yeah, I know, and they never give more depth to it. That's why they don't go over well.
This match was a matter of like 30 seconds. No Way Jose won with his pop-up knockout punch.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to focus on the fiesta more than the fighting.
You're probably initially. Right. I don't know. I hope the best for him.
Oh, I know.
He seems like a nice fellow.
Yeah. He's always been he was always entertaining in NXT.
Yeah. Well,
and it seemed like they were trying to give some dimension to his character somewhat during the Austin Aries feud.
Yeah.
And then once that feud ended, it seemed like they lost the dimension. It was just all, you know, fiesta.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of one of the more underwhelming call-ups, but, I mean, you can't do anything else with him in NXT, so, hey, look, the guy still has a job. That's awesome. He's probably getting paid a crap ton more money now than he was 2 days ago, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how high his ceiling is. But you know what? You don't really have to have a high ceiling. You're making a bunch of money, and you got a job.
You got a job.
So
if
hopefully he'll
get on TV
around on
a regular basis, that'll help. But then again, we didn't know what Elias's ceiling was going to be.
Yeah, that was surprising.
So
that was really surprising.
Next, Kurt Angle backstage again. Thebar enters. They say, oh, those tag titles are vacant. We want our belts back.
Yeah, so you're just going to give them back to us?
Kurt Angle says, not so fast. We're going to have a kind of a bit of a tournament, determine a new number one contender, and at largest Royal Rumble, you will get your title shot against the winner of said tournament.
Yeah, again, Kurt Angle booking completely on the fly.
Yeah, man. Next, the first match in this, what they called Eliminator Tournament. The Club versus the Revival. Man, it bums me out to see the Club taking losses left and right. That's what Carl Anderson seemingly is employed for, is to take pins. But he looked great.
Yeah, he looks great. Would have been more of a bummer to see the Revival lose.
I know.
It's a lose. I mean, people have to lose.
I know. There's losing, and there's losing all the time. Wilder picked up the pin on Carl Anderson after a shatter machine.
Hey, they send the Club over, and I guarantee that's going to happen. The Club are going to SmackDown.
Oh, probably.
They have to be going to SmackDown. I mean, or the Revival. I mean, one of them big, like, brute tag teams has to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, well, probably not the Revival if the Superstar Shakeup's happening next week, unless they lose that match against, well, they will lose against Broken, Woken Matt.
Yeah.
Next, Seth Rollins came out, dropped a promo. It's weird. It seems like it's taken him more than a year, and now he's just like finally fully comfortable as face Seth.
Yeah, I know. It's been a little while, but no, he does seem very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And this happy, because for the longest time, he didn't seem happy to be face Seth.
This whole segment was great.
Oh, yeah.
These three guys can do no wrong. Finn Balor comes out, and in true New Japan fashion, formally issues a challenge.
For the Intercontinental title.
He says, you deserve it. You were the better man last night. He says, but you beat the other guy. You didn't beat me. Meaning he didn't eat the pin. And I want a challenge for that. What do you say?
Seth didn't. All right. Sure.
Hearty handshake between the two
Miz
of them.
And Miz Taraj comes out, and there's this great bit where the Miz was talking about Seth making his daughter cry, and which Seth, in turn made Maryse cry, which in turn made the Miz cry.
It was so brilliant, though. When he was telling this to Seth, Seth was apologizing.
Yeah.
He felt legitimately bad.
Oh, his reactions were great.
Because at first he was saying, you know, you made my baby cry. And he said, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I don't know. I thought it was fantastic.
And then Seth said, well, you make everybody here cry with how bad of a wrestler you are.
Yeah. And then seeing like Finn react to all of it is always great,
too. Oh, I know.
He's cracking me up. So anyways,
During that, Miz challenged Seth, or said he's going to invoke his rematch clause at Backlash, which is early May. Again, they're completely ignoring the Intercontinental ladder match at largest Royal Rumble at this point on television.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
I know, either it's a big deal or it's not.
I know. And then Miz challenged Seth and Finn to a match against himself in the Miztourage, which Seth and Finn seem cool with. But then Jeff Hardy comes running out.
Yeah.
He sides with Seth and Finn. Stare down. No match happen. Happens later in the evening as our main event.
Yeah. So, again, like, that's cool. I'm happy that Jeff Hardy's back. I just wish... Why isn't it Jeff Hardy in the Fatal 4-Way for... I mean, I know they wouldn't have announced that. Maybe they'll just change it.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah, that maybe they'll change that out. So they'll replace Joe with Jeff Hardy.
But, like, talk about it next week on Raw.
You know? I know.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways,
next we had Mandy Rose versus Sasha Banks. Both competitors were in the ring. Bayley's music hits. Mm-hmm. She walks down the ringside, gets in the ring for a brief minute, says something to Sasha, then exits the ring and stands in her corner.
Yeah.
And then during the match, Mandy Rose gets knocked outside. She gets up in Bayley's face. Bayley goes to hit her. Mandy moves. So Bayley hits Sasha instead.
Whoops.
You know, she tries to apologize. Sasha says, "I got a match to take care of." Goes in the ring, eats a huge knee from Mandy.
Oh, man, that was massive.
Mandy picks up the
violence.
Win. Oh, I know.
It was great.
Seemed like Mandy might have got her bell rung a little bit based on that top rope knee from Sasha.
Oh, that could have been.
Because she's holding her head, and she looked like one time she got up and she was a little unsteady.
Impact test.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was a little worried. Maybe she's just a really good seller. I don't know. Anyways, after the match, Paige, joined initially by Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, grabbed the mic and proceeded to announce officially her retirement from in-ring competition. This was tough to watch because you can tell it was breaking her heart.
Oh, I know. And thank God, I'm so glad that crowd did everything they could to support her.
I know.
To keep it positive.
Chanting, "This is your house."
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was tough to watch. It was a bummer. Like, it's bizarre that, like, when you think 4 years, 4 years really doesn't seem like that much time.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone by really, really fast. I feel like we only got a glimpse of what... I mean, she hasn't always been booked the best.
Yeah.
She personally hasn't always made the best decisions in terms of, like, you know, her, you know, how she's handled her career necessarily. But then we don't know a lot of the backstage goings on and stuff. We just hear what we hear.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I just feel like we got kind of just a glimpse. Like, imagine what we would have had if it was 10 more years of her in the ring. I mean, she really was her and AJ Lee. I mean, I know that it was sort of, or from what I understand, it was Vince watching a Sasha Charlotte match
in NXT. Yeah.
That really clued him in terms of, okay, well, this is probably what, you know, the future is going to be. But without AJ Lee and Paige there, I mean, they really made a huge mark in terms of the early stages of the women's revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really before then, I mean, you had the Bellas, but I've never really considered them part of, like, the women's revolution thing. Like, I think they were sort of the tail end of the stuff we got with, you know, Candice Michelle and Kelly and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
More going for models than wrestlers. Well, AJ Lee was a hell of a wrestler.
Yep.
And Paige has been wrestling since she was 13.
Yep.
She's a hell of an in-ring competitor and one of the most magnetic personalities they've had in the past 5 years. So, I really hope that... I mean, I don't know what her... I think last time we heard her contract is till like 2019.
Yeah.
Number one, I really hope she doesn't fall off and... you know, take up some offer from some sketchy indie company. That would be terrible.
I know.
She does seem to have a lot of prospects in terms of, like, her own merchandising line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, she's been in movies before, but she could probably explore that much more full. She name dropped Edge.
Yeah.
Talking about his
acting career. And then she talked to, she mentioned Daniel Bryan and that his situation, gave her hope. That you know, someday they can find out a way for her to return to the ring. PW Insider was reporting that Paige's retirement speech was going to be her last appearance on WWE as of time being, but that the company is definitely going to keep her around, possibly working at the Performance Center. So
yeah.
I think that'd be great.
No, I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen, but I think it'd be great if she could take over Daniel Bryan's job as GM and SmackDown.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think that she'd bring in eyes. I really do. People like Paige, man.
Yeah.
excuse me.
Next, Elias was in the ring, dropped a promo.
It's rare that you see Elias speechless. But there are moments in this promo where he was speechless because the crowd was eating him. They were loving every second of him. He was like, you know, you're the same scumbags from last night cheering on me getting beat up.
Yeah.
And they said, we were scumbags. So there was all sorts of really, really fantastic chanting that he really seemed just so over the moon tickled about.
Yeah.
And didn't really know how to respond to a crowd that he couldn't get to be not on his side.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun to watch because that look on his face when he's genuinely tickled is so great.
Oh, I know. He try as he might, he cannot hide it when he's genuinely tickled.
Yeah.
Anyways, he starts singing a song and then he's interrupted by Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, the returning Bobby Lashley.
He, of course, attacks Elias, hits him with a neck breaker, and then a massive stalling suplex that, like, had him up there for 3 minutes.
Yeah, he had him up there for a while.
And that was our return of Lashley to the WWE. Again, I wish it was a bit more impactful. Have him come out and attack Reigns or somebody. I'm just using that as an example because Reigns is, you know, supposed to be the main event guy.
Well, I think of, like, okay, remember Big Show's debut in WWF?
Oh, yeah.
You know, attacking Austin. Sending him through the steel cage at St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That would have been cool. Like, make him part of a bigger story.
Exactly.
Because, you know, and then he can always transition to something else.
Yes. Agreed. Next, Kurt Angle backstage. In walks Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in suits, something we don't see very often.
Yeah, keep talking.
Okay. You know, and they say, hey, you know, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been happening, but we need jobs. Kevin Owens says, I have a family. And Kurt Angle says, well, I don't really have much for you here. A tag division's full. I hear they're hiring at TNA.
And the collective wrestling universe's jaws just dropped. That was fantastic. Line of the freaking year there. Oh, that was great. Poor Impact Wrestling social media.
I know.
Like, I think as soon as he said that, they posted a picture of, like, their roster and said, we are Impact or something like that.
I know.
But, no, that was awesome. And the looks on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's face were great, too. That was a fantastic moment.
That was.
Everybody always talks about, oh, they never mentioned TNA. They never mentioned TNA.
Well, they did.
I don't really care anymore.
No, they don't. And then Angle says, all right, I got one spot left here on Raw on the roster. You two get to fight for it tonight.
Yeah.
Next, Slater and Rhino. Slater drops a promo. He's got kids. He needs this job. He just more or less issued an open challenge. Out comes Authors of Pain, joined by Paul Ellering.
He issued an open challenge, and the crowd started chanting AOP.
Yeah. They kind of telegraphed that one, didn't
Pretty
they?
Pretty much.
Of course, AOP wins easily. The last chapter.
Yeah.
They are exiting the ring area with Paul Ellering, and they say, hold up, Paul. We're going to go by ourselves.
We got this now.
Yeah.
I love the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they could have easily just not had Paul come out with them.
Yep.
A lot of people don't watch NXT. A lot of people might not have known that he was with them, but it was a moment that continuity-wise made sense.
Yep. It was handled with subtlety.
Yeah.
Not a word was spoken.
Didn't need to be in the ring, just... You stay here. We're good on our own.
Mm-hmm.
I got chills watching. A lot of people are like, oh, I would have said, no, man, this was perfect. This was absolutely perfect. Like, their relationship, he was the word man, yeah, but this relationship didn't need. You see him get in there with them, and he has them by their harnesses, you know, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, no, man, we're good now. It was a father-son's type
thing.
It really was. We're going to war. You stay here. You've done everything you can for us.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved it.
It was great.
I loved it.
After that, Roman Reigns comes to the ring, drop a promo, gets booed out of the arena almost. And then they do a promo again for Reigns versus Lesnar at Largest Rumble in Steel Cage. And the Reigns starts talking about Mania and how, you know, everything seemed off that day. Like, people were looking at him different.
Yeah.
Like, Vince didn't look at him, didn't have the balls to tell him, apparently, that Lesnar had re-signed. He said... he found out about the cage match at Largest Rumble from the internet.
Okay. What exactly was he talking about?
I don't know. Are we supposed to feel bad for him because Vince doesn't tell him things?
Was he referring to the fact that they changed the match, that he wasn't supposed to win the Universal Championship?
I don't know, because he the punctuation on his promo was, if you keep putting me in matches against Brock Lesnar, I'm going to become the Universal Champion.
Right.
But what did he do
What's the inference? I don't even know what the inference is in terms of people looking at him weird.
Oh, the inference was I think that Lesnar re-signed and no one told him.
Oh, okay.
He was out of the loop on all that. Like, between that and then this match at Largest Rumble.
You could easily read that. Yeah, well dude, you're a performer. You look at the whiteboard like everybody else. Look, I've played 2K18. I know where they keep the booking whiteboard.
Yeah, it's in gorilla.
It's in gorilla position, right. I really wish they'd make the gorilla position look more like actual gorilla
position. Oh, I
know. You know, that'd be great. Vince sitting back there.
With Michael Hayes and...
Yeah.
And
then if you get near them, Shane. They just run away like they do with the interview stuff.
Or Vince starts yelling at you.
Write that down if we get brought in to give our feedback.
That's a good idea.
Anyways.
But anyways, yeah, it didn't make a ton of sense. Like, why are we supposed to feel sympathy for you because you're not told things?
Yeah, I know. You know, like, look, man, I've worked real jobs before. Sometimes we're just giving orders. You just say, hey, they want you to read a new script for your customers in your
stupid call
center job.
Or maybe he was trying to get a bit meta about it, how the finish was changed. But he didn't want to say, obviously, the finish of the match was changed.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, there's any number. It's probably what you're talking about. But, yeah, people are looking at me weird. Why would they look at... Look, man, what some people consider a huge draw, Brock Lesnar, just re-signed. Why would they look at you weird? What kind of vanity ego crap is that? What, you're bitching about his contract? I don't know. The whole thing is weird.
It is weird.
Freaking pick a story and stick with it, man.
I know. Anyways, the segment was saved by Samoa Joe because he returns. Man, he's best on the mic. Is anybody better than Samoa Joe?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Samoa Joe is best on the mic.
Samoa Joe is the best on the mic. He had new shorts, too, I think.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. Anyways, he challenges Reigns to a match at Backlash. And actually, Joe was putting over Lesnar.
Yeah, man.
He's saying, after Lesnar is done ragdolling you in that steel cage, I'm going to pick up what's left of you and put you to sleep at Backlash. Yeah. Oh, man, he's the best.
You have to feel for Reigns, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, talk about the most... Look.
Do you see that the gash that Lesnar opens up? It looked like about 2 inches.
Yeah, it was horrible. You know, Sunday comes earlier in the week. Vince says, "We're not going to put the Universal title on you."
Well, not at Mania.
Not at Mania.
We're going to wait and do it at Largest Royal Rumble.
All right.
So you don't get booed out of the building.
Yeah. Okay, Vince. It's fine.
Well, I mean, it's like Vince. If you're a man of your convictions, then if you have a plan, just see it through.
Just pull the trigger, man.
Just do it.
Yeah. Well, what did I say before cameras rolling? This dude hasn't been getting the reaction you wanted for 4 years.
Yeah, why do you think it's going to change in one day?
Right.
If you don't want the show to end that way with your Universal Champion getting booed, then put something else in the main event or book the match correctly so you actually engender some sympathy for the face in the match.
Why is it every time...
Instead of doing some cartoonish thing where he just gets beat the crap and keeps kicking out.
Every time they stumble upon a decent booking idea for Roman Reigns... They run away from it.
Yeah.
They do it for like...
The city of Philadelphia popped for him winning the title because they booked it right.
Look, Roman Reigns could be supremely over. He could be. He can absolutely be supremely over. And you've had several good ideas as to how to do it. We know this because you've started down the path a couple times. And then you run away from it.
I mean, they should have just carried on with Lesnar no-showing Raw.
Yeah.
Saying Lesnar doesn't care about this show. He doesn't care about
the company. Everybody.
Doesn't
instead,
care about
they
the
ran
fans.
Away from it and went back to the let's just beat each other up thing.
I know. Which people are not interested in.
No. The problem is they're not interested in seeing anything but like Brock Lesnar beat up on Roman Reigns because we have this Pavlovian response to want to see Roman Reigns get beat up.
Yeah.
And then chant, you deserve this.
Yeah.
But no, man, if you let the guy talk on the mic and say things that, like, you know, we relate to.
Yeah, people will relate to him.
They'll respond to that.
Yeah.
I'd have him come out and complain about people looking at him weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it either. After that, we had the second match in this Eliminator tournament. Titus Worldwide taking on Wilk and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
Wonderful.
Before the match, Matt did a promo in his like ethereal plane. He was joined by Bray, and they said the expedition of gold was going to commence. So that's a thing again now.
You think Bray is happy with any of this?
I don't think so.
It really doesn't look like it.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't look. He's not into this.
Especially
stuff.
Like the backstage segment with all of them was pretty funny.
Oh, I like that.
The punctuation was great.
Yeah, it was.
But Bray just seemed like, oh, Brother Nero.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah, I know.
He gives him a hug. He doesn't seem to be into this at all.
He really doesn't.
Anyways, Matt and Bray teleport into the ring. And of course, they win. Matt pins Apollo after a twist of fate. But yeah, Bray does not seem into this at all.
Yeah, he really does. It's a bummer too, because it's like it kind of makes him look weak.
Oh yeah, it definitely does.
It definitely does.
After that, we get Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Winner stays on Raw. Another fantastic match from both these guys.
Yeah,
I kind of wish they hadn't cut to commercial during the match.
It's always nice, but they got to pay bills, man.
Yeah, I understand that. Anyways, they were busting out their finishers on each other.
That might be a thing of the past soon, if all that stuff about networks going to less commercials.
True. But in the end, was it Owens hits the pop-up powerbomb?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was that top rope, like fisherman suplex Owens delivered on Zayn after they had both given each other their finishers.
Yeah.
And neither could get up from a standing 10 count. No one wins. No one is hired.
And I love, we forgot to mention this. When Stephanie was walking away, because the announcements were hilarious on this.
Oh, yeah.
When Stephanie was walking away, maybe give Stephanie McMahon a little respect.
Which,
of course, is exactly Vince's words verbatim.
Probably. And, yeah. which turns the volume
right,
of the crowd
exactly,
up,
yeah.
You know, double to boo her.
That's literally Vince's, like, cadence, too, the way he talks.
Probably, yeah.
Into the earpiece of the announcer. And then the announcer here said, stipulated, because neither men won the match, neither men will be on Raw.
Yeah.
And the great thing is Ryan Satin pointed this out on Twitter. That's the only reason I remember it. But when Kevin Owens came out, his little thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Their lower thirds had no home on it.
Right.
No Raw, no SmackDown.
Exactly.
Yeah. I saw that tweet too.
With a plate behind it.
So does this mean they're going to NXT? How great would that be?
I would love that. I would love that. All of it. I would love it so hardcore. It'd be great.
They show up on 205 Live.
Yeah. Could even Sammy pull that off? What is he, like 215?
I think it's 215, 210.
Yeah.
Have a weigh-in a la Buddy Murphy.
No, that'd be great. I mean, eventually they're just going to come groveling back to SmackDown. Maybe they'll do something in the shakeup for them. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Or one thing I thought of is that Angle say, well, I watched your match last week. I was really impressed by
that. Could be, yeah.
The effort you put into it. Now that the shakeup's happened, we have an extra spot. We'll hire both of you.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Next, we had Finn, Seth, and Jeff Hardy backstage. They were kind of just talking amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Up walks Matt Hardy to Jeff.
Yes.
And Jeff says, you know, hey, I've been leaving you messages, but I know you've been preparing for this Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
He said, I've been leaving you a message, but it seems like it was deleted.
Yeah.
So Jeff was playing into it as well.
Oh, yeah, he said obsolete and all that kind of stuff. Up walks Bray and says, Brother Nero. Gives him a huge hug.
Yeah. He said, I'm glad that Sister Abigail has been rendered obsolete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they talk a bit more. They leave. Finn turns to Jeff, said, what was that all about? And this was great.
Yeah.
Jeff just goes, puts a piece of gum in his mouth, walks away.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good.
Great punctuation of that whole segment. After that, our main event, Miz and Miz Taraj taking on Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Fun match. Seth picked up the win after giving the stomp to Miz. And then the rest of the Miztourage ate finishers from everybody else.
Yeah, that last bit just felt like they were already off the air.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it did, yeah. So I'm glad they gave it that kind of thing. Oh, and of course, we did get the line from Corey Graves. It's a crazy atmosphere. People are going to boo what they cheer and cheer what they boo.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here with that, Vince. Get out of here with that.
I know.
All right, Corey, you're going to deliver this line.
I'm guessing Corey Graves just said, all right, Vince.
I know, exactly. He's like, okay.
All right, Vince.
Sure, whatever you say, pal.
Sure, I can do it today. Shall we answer some questions?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Zach Parks, after Charlotte and Asuka stealing the show at Mania, is it time for a women's match to close the Mania in the main event, Charlotte versus Ronda? I'm not going to guarantee what they're building towards, but I'm like 95% certain they're going to build up Charlotte this year to main event Mania against Ronda Rousey for one of the women's titles.
They might do, and it would be disappointing if they did. So what do you think is more important? Them having a Rousey Charlotte main event for 35, or maintaining Reigns' streak of main eventing Manias? Because they might do something lame like, oh, it's the co-main event, to try to technically call it, but it really isn't.
No, whatever match goes on last
is the main event. Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope they realize that by now, because they tried to pull that crap with Hell in a Cell, I think, when Sasha and Charlotte. And it was like, you know, in the days leading up, it was like, well, is that actually going to close out the show? And they started calling it a triple main event. And then it did end up closing the show because they realized.
No, the last match is a main event.
Yeah. So I don't know. It depends on, Look, I could definitely, especially given how great Ronda is and how much improvement we're going to see from her over the next year.
Yeah.
I could see them pulling the trigger on it. It would get far more publicity than a Reigns main event again.
Oh, yeah.
But they do seem, Vince does seem to have an infatuation with Roman Reigns and wanting some ridiculous, you know, main event streak for him. Could be on his agenda more than
maybe.
Anything else.
I don't know. I feel like for him, if whatever is going to be most profitable for the company, he's going to end up going
you
with.
Would, dude, you would think so. But you never know.
Yeah, you would think so. Haven Elric, what are the chances they didn't let AJ and Nakamura go full range so Brock and Roman wouldn't have to follow a better bout / as good as their Wrestle Kingdom 10 match? Honestly, I don't know if they really even consider that. I mean, there was plenty of other matches even further down the card that were way better than either of the title matches. So if they were worried about a title match overshadowing the main event, it didn't initially play out in terms of what I saw.
I would suggest this. I wouldn't put it past them to do that, but I would think it's more along the lines of understanding that the heel turn was coming and understanding that they would have the opportunity to put on
a stellar match later down the line.
Match of the year candidate. Look, I mean, you know, people were talking more about the 5-star match we saw at TakeOver than they were any of the matches that we saw at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a 5-star match that's memorable on any, you know, at any time. Is it better to have it at Mania? Sure. But if you can have it at Backlash or wherever else, people are going to remember that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to remember that match.
Yeah.
So
I guess
have to
maybe
be Mania.
The point of the Mania match was to remember the heel turn and then later on, hopefully, let them feud for a while.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? The odds that they feud for a while, Nakamura wins the title, carries it. I don't think it's going to happen. Carries it to Mania next year to take on Daniel Bryan.
I like it.
That's a long-term fantasy booking. We didn't know if Daniel Bryan's going to be around still then.
Tyler.
Yeah.
What return or surprise was the most fun for you?
I think Ember Moon's because it seemed to make the most impact.
Yeah, she pinned the former champion.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Dylan Scribner. Hey, friendos. If Roman doesn't win at the largest Rumble, power rank other Raw superstars who could go over Brock. Thayer Thabata, CM Punk finds it insulting, says Balor, Daniel Bryan. Drew McIntyre. I know he's not on Raw yet, but him. Bobby Lashley. Samoa Joe. Braun Strowman.
It's Braun. If it's anybody, it's Braun. But they need to get him to do some serious stuff now that he's done with Nicholas. They need to pivot him to serious stuff.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Minnesota Joe, what do you guys think Nicholas's ceiling is when he finishes school?
Head referee. Because that's what his dad is a referee.
Yep. Foxy the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. How firmly does Brock have Vince by the balls to constantly keep getting rehired? Last decent match he had was against AJ. The Suplex City thing is becoming boring. How do you guys feel about this decision? I know I don't like it. I'm going to be pissed if the Universal title continues to be off TV. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. I mean, him, Lesnar, that is, sticking around long-term isn't the best scenario, especially if he's holding the Universal title during a vast majority of his contract.
Creatively speaking, it's a terrible idea. Yeah. I'm not huge on it. However,
if Reigns gets the title off him at Largest Rumble, then they can move on and he can just show up 3 or 4 times a year, have matches at marquee shows, and that's it.
Well, yeah, but what I was going to say is if Vince has his numbers people crunching numbers and feels Brock is worth the money that he's getting paid, then I'm not going to question him being re-signed. As a fan of the product, do I like it? Creatively, I think it stinks. But I understand why he would do it and why he would give Brock special privileges, because his business people feel like Brock is big business. They wouldn't sign him if he didn't. If he was a money loser, exactly. They wouldn't do it. That's not good business, and the company makes money, you know, they're still around. So, you know, I mean, does he have him by the balls? I think he's got leverage because he makes money. And on top of that, I mean, so I think it was Meltzer who said something about the likelihood of Lesnar, if he goes to the UFC, he's going to be taking on whoever wins the heavyweight championship in the next match. So the next heavyweight championship match after the one that's currently scheduled,
yeah,
will be a Brock Lesnar match
in December. I think is what he said.
So if Brock wins that title, it does. I mean, it's a good bet for the WWE. If Brock ends up winning the UFC title and he's under contract for them to make appearances, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's probably as good for business. Creatively speaking, we don't like it, but there's a ton of other superstars and stories that we do like and we do pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So it's okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna let one storyline ruin our enjoyment of WWE's product.
Yeah.
Braun ate my homework. If you can visit a parallel universe where one massive thing in WWE happened or didn't happen, what universe would that be? And what would their WWE look like now? He says he'd be curious about how things would be right now if Austin had never gotten hurt by Owen Hart.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I will take the alternate universe where the cooler heads prevailed. CM Punk was just given some time off to heal his wounds. And they said, come back when you're feeling better and you're not so burnt out. That's what I wish would have happened. I don't know. I mean, something tells me that that was kind of... If Triple H had wanted CM Punk back, I think he probably could have had it happen. But I always get the idea that Triple H is not a CM Punk guy.
Yeah. I would like to see the universe where Shawn Michaels didn't hurt his back in that match against The Undertaker.
And was a big part of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Yeah, going forward, yeah. The Monday Night Wars, yeah.
That really would have affected, I think, how Triple H was pushed going forward.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. PJ Segundo, based on his entrance last night, is No Way Jose looking like the next Adam Rose? You know, I really liked Adam Rose. I thought that, man, they gave him the short shrift. But I really liked him. I thought he had tons of charisma. So I don't know, man. Will he get the same treatment? Probably. I mean, it's sad, but probably. Look at Ty Dillinger. I think that dude had a better NXT career than No Way Jose. Look at him now.
Yeah, no. Richard Nason, how long will the revival be held down with the new formation of Hardy and Wyatt? We can guess they're going to fight T-Bar and go over. When will revival get their spot when they can wrestle for 6 months without an injury?
Yeah, no, I totally think that's true. Because I think they're solid. I think Vince probably really likes them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee Triple H does.
Jay Goodwin, with only 2 hours, 49 minutes, and 55 seconds of WrestleMania's 7-hour runtime, including the pre-show, being actual in-ring action, do you think the WWE needs to do a better job of streamlining the non-wrestling parts of the show in order to give matches a proper time to breathe? So you have less than 3 hours of a 7-hour show to in-ring product.
I thought it was 1 hour, 49 minutes.
No, it was about 3 hours of actual wrestling. That's bell-to-bell wrestling, I believe.
Okay, so 3 hours to...
Add an hour for entrances. Let's just say. So that's still less than 4 hours of a 7-hour show. So that's 3 hours. I mean, if you include the pre-show is mostly the panel stuff. There's only about a half hour of wrestling during the pre-show.
God, you're probably right about the entrances. 14 matches, like 30 superstars are fighting, maybe more, 35 superstars.
At least 2 minutes per entrance, plus another 10 minutes for Undertakers.
Gee, willikers.
What I really like about New Japan is that it's just match, 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 match. There's no downtime pretty much. I mean, they might run an occasional recap package, but by and large, it's just match ends, they go to the back, ding, new match starts.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, their recap package is all the beginning. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do a really solid 5-minute, you know, or, you know, 7-minute recap package of all your stories wrapped into one, your big logo, this is blah, blah, blah.
Well, Strong Style, they've all of their running recap packages between certain matches, not all of them, but certain ones.
Yeah.
But even then they were relatively short, maybe 2 minutes. So I don't know. I'd like to see in comparison Wrestle Kingdom, how much, actual of the 5-hour show, how much of that, or 5.5-hour show, how much of that was actually bell to bell in the ring.
Yeah.
I suppose I can go to Wikipedia and find that out, but, maybe some other time.
I like this. Another Richard Nason question. Who the hell is Kurt Angle always on the phone with, then repeats exactly what we just saw? His wife.
Yeah, maybe.
It was his wife. Nicholas Groskirth. How sad was it when Authors of Pain told Ellering to stay? I loved it. It was.
Because there was no malice in it. They were just like,
no,
we're good.
We're good.
You've done all you can for us. We appreciate it. But it wasn't some huge, overly sentimental thing. It was just...
Oh, it was so perfect. We got this. You know, man, They can do simple and effective sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Elias Gould, hey friendos, after seeing Bobby Lashley's debut, I kind of feel like if he was put in Joe's spot, it would have been more impactful.
Okay.
What do you think? Is it better easing him back in WWE like they did, or should they have gone all in? Thanks, friendos.
Well, so somebody earlier said that, you know, it's kind of one of the reactions to Bobby Lashley is not a lot of, not everybody knew who he was. And I agree with that. You know, Bobby Lashley was, you know, hot shit during a period that was kind of on the downswing. Like, not everybody was really tuning in. Like, it certainly wasn't. I mean, I don't know what the ratings are. Maybe the ratings were different, but no, I don't know. I kind of feel like they kind of need like a re-getting to know you kind of period with Bobby Lashley. That being said, I think it would have been cool if his, like you said, if his debut was, or his return was a bit more impactful. Mm-hmm. But I think they do need to ease him in a little bit.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Why was Roman Reigns complaining that nobody told him Brock re-signed? That shouldn't affect his match against him at all. Just came off as Roman bitching and making excuses.
I mean, maybe if they would have taken the tact of, hey, you know, WWE re-signed Brock Lesnar for Vince McMahon, once again proving that Brock is his boy, signing him to another sweetheart deal where he doesn't even have to stay in the WWE.
I know, he can go and he can go and fight in the UFC. He can make fewer appearances and make more money.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I know. Marvelous Marcus Tyler. God, I have missed Samoa Joe. Just hearing him speak last night reminded me that he is one of the premier talkers in the business. Power rank 5 iconic movie roles that would have done better by Samoa Joe. Thanks, friendos. Wow, that's a great question.
Okay, so I'm not sure about...
Daniel Plainview and There Will Be Blood.
Okay, seriously, I'm not sure that we can go better, but how about 5 roles that we would love to see him in, and that's one of them. John Travolta's role in Pulp Fiction.
All right.
That'd have been good.
All right.
Or, I mean, you know, I guess the Samuel Jackson role, because he likes saying those kind of lines.
What about Denzel Washington in Training Day?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I was just watching Full Metal Jacket this morning.
Yeah.
What about the Gomer Pyle role? That'd have been good.
Yeah. What about Samoa Joe as Hal in 2001?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Open the pod bay doors, Hal. What about... how about... This would have been great. What about Patrick Bateman in American Psycho?
Oh, that would have been good.
For the sex scene. That would have been awesome. He's all posing in the mirror.
Broken Steve, will Paul Ellering return to NXT to manage War Machine, or will he stay on Raw as part of a storyline with Authors of Pain?
I think he's going to go chill.
Yep.
I think he's going to go just J-chill, man.
Yep.
That dude is, he is old. He is ready to just pop on some TV.
Richard Nason, Ember Moon goes to Raw. Does Nikki Cross go to SmackDown tonight? Yes. Sanity's on SmackDown tonight.
You think so? Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that. Who's going to show up on SmackDown tonight? Sanity? Sanity, iconic duo.
Yeah, Liam Wagner, he posted on Twitter, right? Or somewhere.
Yeah.
His calls, and they're very good.
He had a good one, yeah.
Yeah, with Sanity, iconic duo, Cassius Ohno, and then somebody else.
I would love Cassius Ohno. That would make me make me the most happy. He didn't mention Almas, and I'm still going to say that Almas is going to tangle with Drew, and he'll get a call-up after SummerSlam.
Perhaps, yeah.
That's going to be my guess on
perhaps.
That one.
Although Drew could be called up too. I wouldn't be surprised. Imagine him if he gets called up and gets into a feud immediately with Jinder for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Do you want to do a play per view today?
Yes, I do want to do.
All right, what do you want to do?
Let's do a Backlash.
Fair enough. Go Backlash 2006, if there was a Backlash in 2006. Apparently there was.
Yeah, there was. I'm going to go with the very first one in 2002.
Sounds good. Oh, man.
Ooh, wait, no. I'm going to go 2008 because it's ECW.
Oh, no.
You got that right.
How many matches do you have?
Backlash 2006. Hold on. Oh, wait, no. I don't want to do that. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. 4, 5, 6. Eight.
Okay, I have eight as
No, I'm sorry. I said 2008. Let's see here.
Oh, sorry.
Brands. Oh, this is all of them. Raw, SmackDown, ECW. Okay, well. I have eight matches.
Same here.
Including the dark match.
Same here. I'll go first. Rob Conway versus Goldust.
Rob Conway.
No.
Ooh. Tag team match. John Morrison and The Miz versus Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore.
I'll go with Miz and Morrison.
That's a good choice. They were pushed hard.
Next, Carlito versus Chris Masters.
What year was this?
2006.
Oh, man. Chris Masters.
Nope.
Singles match for the WWE United States Championship. The champion, MVP, versus wonderful Matt Hardy.
MVP.
No, Matt Hardy won it. Wow. Yes.
Next, Umaga.
Umaga.
Versus Ric Flair.
Umaga won.
Mm-hmm.
Singles match for the ECW Championship. Came this early in the card. The champion, Kane, versus Chavo Guerrero.
Kane.
Very good.
Next, Mickie James versus Trish Stratus for the WWE Women's Championship.
I'll say Mickie James won.
Nope.
In a singles match, this had to have been a barn burner. 8 minutes and 5 seconds.
Ooh.
Put this on a Wrestle Kingdom main event. The Great Khali versus The Big Show.
It's 2008?
Yeah.
I'll say Khali.
Big Show.
Oh. Next, Shelton Benjamin, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Rob Van Dam.
Shelton Benjamin.
Nope.
Jesus Christ. Okay, with Chris Jericho serving as special guest referee, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels took on Batista.
I'll say Batista.
No, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Kind of thought Jericho might have cost him the match. Next, Kane versus Whale.
How long was the match?
9 minutes and 30 seconds.
What year was this? 2006?
Yeah.
God, that is such a toss-up. Kane.
No contest.
Okay. In a 12 Diva tag team match, the team of Ashley, Cherry, Kelly, Maria, Michelle McCool, and Mickie James.
All right.
Versus Beth Phoenix, Jillian Hall, Layla, Melina, Natalia, and Victoria.
Team number two.
Team number two won.
Next, God and Shawn Michaels versus Mr. McMahon and Shane McMahon.
Shoot. I guess the McMahon's won.
Yes.
Okay. I've got two now. Wow.
I have three.
A singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Edge, the challenger, took on Undertaker, the champion.
Edge.
No, The Undertaker won.
The main event, a triple threat match for the WWE Championship. John Cena, the champion, versus Edge and Triple H. Versus Edge versus Triple H.
Well, Cena wins.
Yeah.
All right, we're tied. Let's see if you can beat me. See if you can beat me.
All right.
Fatal four-way elimination match.
All right.
For the WWE Championship. The champion, Randy Orton.
All right.
Took on John Bradshaw Layfield, a.k.a. JBL.
JBL.
John Cena.
John Cena.
And the game Triple H.
2008?
Yes.
Triple H.
Very good. Very good.
I am the winner.
You'd think in 2008, he shouldn't have won that. It's 2008. He's 10 years past his prime.
No, the Golden Shuffle was alive and well, man.
The Golden Shuffle. That was 10 years ago. Anyways, wow, what a great show.
Fantastic
show. I really hate life because my voice is crap right now.
We still have more to do today.
Yeah, I know we do. It sucks.
We'll take a lunch break and you can recuperate.
Sounds good. I didn't bring a sandwich, so I'm just going to eat Pringles.
Oh, we can walk down to the coffee shop. They have sandwiches there.
Nah, it's okay. I'm fine with Pringles. Anyways, that's it for the show.
It's not really a healthy lunch, though.
I'll eat healthy when I get home. I have salmon tonight.
All right.
Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hey, friendos, big news. We have partnered with this awesome app, CastBox, and our podcast is now a CastBox original. Going In Raw will still be available everywhere you listen to our podcast, but we hope you check out CastBox. Link is in the description.